Hello, my name's David Stretton and I'm the Methodist minister for churches in Arnside, Storth, Milnthorpe and Levens in the Kendal Circuit. Welcome to worship for Sunday the 11th of October 2020. For our hymns today, we're going to begin with Here is Love and we'll finish with I Need Thee Every Hour.
Love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who is love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise, he can forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above, and hymns, peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in truth. Thou dost direct me by thy Spirit through thy word, and thy grace my need is meeting as I trust in thee, my Lord. Of thy fullness thou art pouring thy great love and power on me, without measure full and boundless, drawing out my heart to thee.
Let's pray. Lord God, early in the morning, when the world was young, you made life in all its beauty. You gave birth to all that we know. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning, when the world least expected it, a newborn child crying in a cradle announced that you had come among us, that you were one of us. Early in the morning, surrounded by respectable liars, religious leaders, anxious statesmen and silent friends, you accepted the penalty for doing good, for being God. You shouldered and suffered the cross. Early in the morning, a voice in a guarded graveyard and footsteps in the dew proved that you had risen, that you came back to those and for those who had forgotten, denied and destroyed you. Early in the morning, in the multicoloured company of your church on earth and in heaven, we celebrate your creation, your life, your death and resurrection, your interest in us. And so to you we pray, Lord, bring new life where we are worn and tired, new love where we have turned hard-hearted, forgiveness where we feel hurt and where we have wounded, and the joy and freedom of your Holy Spirit, where we are prisoners of ourselves. Thanks be to God. Amen. Today, I'm reading a story about a rich young man. On the surface, it all sounds simple, but scratch that surface and things get very interesting indeed. It's from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, and honour your father and your mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." I won't be telling you anything new when I say that the news at the moment is full of stories about coronavirus. And I won't be telling you anything new when I also say that the poor die young. This has been amply demonstrated over the past 6 months, where it's plain to see right across the world that the poor have been hardest hit by the virus. But it's always been the case that poor people generally die younger than the wealthy. And it was certainly the case 2,000 years ago. Having no money was a guarantee of an early death. And into this situation, Jesus says, "Give your money away. So die, so that you can live forever." Giving up individual wealth and living communally was recognised as a good thing. There are many examples of people living a very simple life in the Bible. The Essenes, John the Baptist, the early apostles, and that's not to mention any of the prophets from the Old Testament. But Jesus wasn't skint. His dad was a carpenter. He would have always had work. And neither were his disciples. Think of Matthew, the tax collector, and Peter, James and John, the fishermen who left their boats, which would have cost them a load of money. There was a Jewish regulation at the time. Don't give away more than 20% or a fifth of your wealth, because if you do, then you'll become a burden to others. If the young man had come to Jesus and said what he did about keeping the commandments, plus that he'd sold all his possessions, and then asked the same question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" would Jesus have let him in? And the answer is, maybe, or maybe not. And why is that? Well, because this encounter in Jesus' ministry is not a tirade against wealth, because Jesus doesn't reject possessions. He rejects their hold over us. This is a moment that's about ultimate loyalty. Where does it lie? With God or with possessions and money and worldly stuff? And why is this important? Well, not because God is somehow feeling insecure if we don't offer 100% attention and loyalty, but because God's gift, the kingdom of God and eternal life, is so big, so great, so huge that our hands must be empty for us to receive it, to get hold of it. we're still reluctant about it, aren't we? Remember Steve Jobs, the guy who owned and ran the Apple Computers Company, who famously said, "Even those who believe in heaven don't want to die to get there." Let's go back a bit. If the young man had sold all his stuff and asked the same question, would Jesus have let him in? Maybe, or maybe not. Why? Well, firstly, as I've already said, because this is less about wealth and more about loyalty. And secondly, because of the question that's asked, what must I do? We always think that we can do something, buy something, fix something, and it'll be all right and we'll get what we want. But Jesus says, with man, with people, this is impossible. We are little, God is big. Get rid of the pride, get rid of the self-reliance, be humble, hold out empty hands, and simply believe that through God's grace, you will receive. And I think that in today's society, that's even harder than selling all your stuff and giving the cash to the poor. All your power, all our control, all gone. That's a real tough one. So there's an incredibly big ask here in this moment that's not necessarily about wealth. So where do we go from here? What is the truth of this passage for us now in 2020, trying to follow the Jesus way? Well, first, there's something here about our expectations of Jesus. Just like the young man in the story, in our hearts, we hope for easy answers. But the truth is that a lot of Jesus' teaching is easy to say, not hard to understand, but very difficult to do, to live. Secondly, let's let ourselves be challenged about the way we see and judge things, especially people. We have so much baggage, so many preconceptions and heads full of stereotypes about other people, about difference. Just look at any selection of the front pages of our newspapers and they continually stoke this up. And then think of that phrase in the story. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Can we do that? Thirdly, finally, try to notice all the things that obscure our God image. You see, we believe that we're created in the image and likeness of God. But the trouble is that no one can see that God-like image shine out of us because of all the stuff that we hold on to and all the things that we do that are not of God's way. Unravel that. And God shines through. So this seemingly simple story is all about ultimate loyalty. It's about trusting in God, about not letting our wealth take over, about being prepared to stand with nothing, nothing but open hands and open hearts, ready to accept what God gifts us. And it's about how we can shine like stars, reflecting God's glory and God's grace into the lives of others. Our prayers of intercession. God, our Father, grant us the help of your Spirit in our prayers for all people. We pray for the Church throughout the world, that in faith and unity we may be constantly renewed by your Holy Spirit for mission and for service. We pray for the peoples of the world, for the leaders of the nations, that they may seek justice, freedom, and peace for everyone. We pray for those among whom we live and work and play, for all our neighbours, that we may use your gifts, that together we may find joy in your creation. We pray for all in sorrow, need, anxiety or sickness, that in their weakness they may know your strength, and in despair they may find hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Like thine can be afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to I need thee.
As our time of worship comes to an end, we pray. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us. May the Lord be gracious to us and give us peace. Amen.